Good morning, Tucson. Happy Wednesday, hump day to you all out there. Welcome to the 1030 The Voice studios with me, your host, Zach Yenser. You're listening to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm excited about the show. I'm fired up. So every now and again, I just wake up on that side of the bed where I'm fired up. I'm fired up today, and looking forward to having some fun conversation with you on the air. 790-2040. Please call. Let's have a chat. We're going to cover a few things today. One is the largest stimulus package. The largest rescue package in American history was passed about 1 a.m. Well, a deal was struck, we'll say that, until the vote is actually cast today at about 1 this morning Eastern Standard Time. About $2 trillion that involves support to individuals, to companies, to the general economy. We'll talk about that. I'm looking forward to our small business spotlight, Tipsy Picassos. And I'll leave it just there because it's a great name, and we'll leave that hanging, and that's our second segment. I want to talk about local support for local businesses, and I want to spotlight some things that I think are being done well, but also some gaps. I want to talk about the lack of symbolic support and how to turn the economy's spigot back on when COVID-19 is done. I've been watching how some other cities are supporting their own local economies, right? Not waiting for the feds, not waiting for the state, taking it in their own hands from a local government level. And I want to talk about what I think Tucson's next steps could be and why the symbolic support is not enough. And then we'll end, I've got this clip for you. We'll end the show with where is Joe Biden and why I feel this week that Trump got 4 more years, that President Trump will be reelected. I feel that this week, and I have a Joe Biden clip to share with you, and why Joe Biden just got dealt a really hard hand. Everyone thinks that Donald Trump has a hard hand right now. I think Joe's got a harder one in terms of campaigning. So we will get into that. All right, just because it's news, got to talk about it. It's a big deal. White House and Senate leaders nailed down a deal on the biggest bailout in history on Wednesday. Again, about 1 this morning Eastern Standard Time, a $2 trillion rescue package for the American economy, writes the as the Guardian explains it. Now, on a personal level, because I know a lot of people listening will go, what does that mean to me, and what does that mean to businesses and the economy around me? So, under the plan, single Americans would receive $1,200, married couples will get $2,400, and parents will see $500. For each child under the age of 17. That was the language that we know in the deal. And so if you are, a couple with 2 kids under 17, $3,400 coming your way, you can do the math. $2,400 per couple, $500 per kid under 17. You can do the math. Now, there was some conversation this may get to us by the second week of April. As I'm just kind of scrolling through the good old smartphone, walking into the studio here, it looks like you should probably at least not plan on getting that until May, which it obviously should be sooner. Best case scenario, this all ends end of April, although I think that's super optimistic. We'll be way after a peak of this, I think, by the early part of May. I'll talk about this as well in the third segment, but the president mentioned that his goal the other day, and he sort of walked it back, but his goal the other day, yesterday, was to reopen the economy by Easter. I'm not a doomsdayer. It's not happening. I would not plan on it. I don't think we're going to be through this in 2 or 3 weeks. Again, I think it's end of April, if we really flatten the curve and we're really lucky. And I just don't think either are going to be true. So I would plan. I only say this, I've been saying this on the air, because I just think about it from a planning perspective, right? Greg and I talked on Monday. A lot of media is doomsday about this, or a lot of people are, it's just fine, it's going to be okay. I'm in the middle. And I think that if you're in Tucson right now, if you're listening, if you're in the Southern Arizona region, when you're and you're looking at your budgets and you're making your plans and you're thinking for the future, I would plan on this being 2 or 3 months. I just would. And if it's done by mid-April, and as the president says, the churches are open for Easter and the economy is reinvigorated, awesome. I just don't think it's going to happen. Not because I want to, be a sassy radio guy on this side of the mic. I'm looking at my budget. I'm a family guy too. I'm looking at what's happening. I'm going, I need to plan for 3 months because I think that's just where this is going. So we'll hit on more of that later. So the fact that we won't get that money as individuals until May, I think it'd be more useful in April, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Congress is not known for moving quickly. Let's see other parts of the deal. It's bigger than the $800 billion stimulus bill for the Great Recession. Interesting as well that as soon as it was even thought of, that the Republicans and Democrats were settling on a deal, the U.S. stock market rose 2,100 points, or 11% on Tuesday, which is the greatest jump in history, if I'm recalling it correctly. I read a lot of articles a day. It's part of doing this job. Sometimes it all gets a little mixed up. But I think that's the biggest jump ever in the stock market in American history. If I'm wrong on that, give me a call, 790-2040. But it's going to... include $500 billion of loans to larger industries. And that was one of the Democrats' biggest sticking points because they wanted more worker support and felt it was more of a corporate bailout, which it wasn't. That was a slush fund for corporations, which it wasn't. And again, that's just not rhetoric. Before things got jammed up end of last week, there was already systems in place to make sure that there was some accountability in terms of that funding given out. So there's business, there's funding to local and state governments, funding to help local and state governments do more of everything from small business to support to helping out with housing and things like that. So again, biggest stimulus package in American history got passed. Let's go to our first break. We'll hit on that again in segment three, but from a local level. When we come back, I'm excited to talk to our small business spotlight. We've been talking about food and restaurants and all that good stuff. We're going to talk to Jennifer Johnson of Tipsy Picasso's, another small business that requires people in the seats. People aren't in the seats. So what do we do? How do we support? We want to talk about a small business in our city as many days as possible here to kind of shed a light on how we can help out as a community right here. Us, you and me, citizens of Tucson. Jennifer Johnson coming up. Tipsy Picasso's right after the break. Don't go away.
1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
Good morning, Tucson. Welcome on back in. You're on 1030 The Voice, listening to Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping the future of Tucson and our region. And every day this month, and I'll probably do it again next month as well, as many times as we can, we're spotlighting local businesses, local men and women who are running small or mid-sized local businesses in Tucson who are going to be hit the hardest with this necessary response to COVID-19. But we can do a lot to support them and find out about them and give them a hand so that we can come out of this stronger together. And on the line for our small business spotlight today is JJ, Jennifer Johnson, JJ, Tipsy Picasso's. JJ, I've been saying that a few times this show, but not telling people what you do because the name is just so intriguing. I want you to explain. Tipsy Picasso's. JJ, you're on. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Hi there. Yeah, thank you for having me on. This is a really cool thing that you're doing, by the way. So Tipsy Picasso's, my sister came up with that name. It's basically, we do paint party events. So you've probably been to a restaurant maybe and seen people doing a painting. So that's what I do. I'm like the local flavor for that. So it's mostly for adults that are beginners, and they have a couple drinks. And I lead them through an intermediate level painting, I would say, just really slowly, step by step.
Very cool. How long have you been in business?
I've actually been in business almost 5 years.
Incredible. All here in Tucson.
Yeah. All here in Tucson, yep.
Wow. Do you do this in multiple locations, or do you have a physical location of your own, or how does that work?
Actually, it's all like kind of pop-up shops. So it's a mobile studio, so I go to different bars and restaurants. I love downtown, so I'm a little partial to downtown. I go to High Line and Hotel McCoy and Borderlands, and just kind of pick out the places that I kind of think are the coolest in Tucson, and then I end up making just relationships with the people that work there, and yeah, we have some really, really fun events.
Very cool. So what I wanted to, of course, ask is, not only does your business require butts in the seat, it requires other places to be open to have seats for the butts to go.
Right.
So how are you doing? How are you? Give us the skinny. Yeah. Let us know what you're living through and how we can help.
Oh, thank you. You know, I was kind of one of those like dummy skeptical people at first. I'm like, oh no, it's going to blow over. And as soon as they were like, you know, don't do any events that are over 50 people, I'm like, oh, that's okay. I can do smaller paint parties. But yeah, as soon as they're like, no bars and restaurants, I'm like, okay, so no more paint parties. So it's been a little bit of a, you know, weird time. But I think what's like comforting is like, I know a lot of people are going through it. It's not just me. So I just, you know, try to stay positive and keep perspective Yeah, it's been a little tough, so I've been trying to, you know, pivot a little bit and think of other ways to still make money, and yeah, it's been interesting for sure.
Yeah, is there any way that that we can support you, or that we can kind of help you get through this time as a community?
There's definitely a few ways people can do that. And I think if people already have, I just wanted to say thank you to, I have this really, really loyal group of supporters, and they were basically like, what's the plan, JJ? Like, whatever you do, we're behind you. So I already have like that really awesome, I think Tucson's just a great city for that in general. Yeah. But for maybe people that have never heard of me before, I would just go to my page and like it. And if you share any of my, posts or share my page, that's something that, people can do for free. And that's really awesome and helpful. I actually just posted, an online class. So I'm going to try doing a Baby Yoda online class. And I think it said like 150 people are going. So I'm like, wait, this could be a thing. Mm-hmm. So they could do my Baby Yoda class, or they could, purchase gift certificates to use at a future time. If they've been wanting to do a paint and sip and they're like, just have never made the time to do it, definitely support local, support Tipsy Picassos, and I'd say get a gift certificate.
For sure. For sure. What, I have a couple of more questions, but one that's on my mind is, when we come out of this, kind of what's the goal for Tipsy Picassos in Tucson? What, obviously you hope to stay here and to keep going, and we hope the economy comes back sooner than later, but kind of what was the future looking like before everything ground to a halt?
Tipsy Picassos, we want to invest in our classes in Tucson, so it's actually really good. Because, the first couple of years of business are a real hustle, and, everyone that would come to my class, I'd, like, leave them a message afterwards and tell them thank you, and to come back, and, they started really small, and over the years it has built up. So I think Tipsy Picassos is at a great point, right when this happened, and
yeah.
Nobody could have foreseen, all this going down, but, I think that's one thing to consider is, especially with a lot of my friends in the restaurant industry struggling, what is this going to look like coming out of it? And it's
right.
Something that I definitely need to have a better plan for. But
right.
I'm definitely going to go back and try to keep in tea parties and in some ways maybe try to come out a bit stronger. Right now I'm like updating my website and doing everything that I can during this time to...
Yeah.
Improve the business. That way, when I do come back, it's better.
One thing that I'm going to talk about it later in the show, JJ, as well. JJ is the owner, founder of Tipsy Picassos, a studio where you can pop-up studio where you can go in and sip and paint and you were doing really well, like so many of us, and then things kind of ground to a halt. One of the things I've heard from local businesses, JJ, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this, is, there started to be some efforts to support business, some good things, good efforts, right? And more SBA loans, more state support. But a lot of businesses I talk to say a lot of the support coming out don't really either meet my needs or I can't access that funding. I can't access that support. Do you feel supported right now? Not just, morally or spiritually, but do you feel supported by your city, by your community on some of those tangible overhead, payroll, your bank account? What else could we be doing maybe as an overall community that we haven't done yet? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the business owners are very creative and they've been coming up with their own initiatives that I think some are really cool. The Obon restaurants said if you buy a gift certificate, they're going to put all that money towards the employees. I know there's GoFundMes going around and T-shirt sales. And so I think some of that stuff is really cool. As far as I'm not personally going to take out a loan and get more into debt. Luckily, I have a little bit of a cushion and I'm just going to weather the storm. But I definitely think that I don't know what it would look like, but I definitely think there should be something from the city that can help us out financially during this time. Luckily, my business is just me and one other teacher. So I know a lot of businesses right now are having to lay off, 10, 20, 30 people. So I'm just, lucky that I'm not in that situation, honestly. I'm not really sure what that would look like, but I think definitely some more support from the city is needed.
For sure. Well, I would have to think that so many people would pay to get a special Zoom link from you to sip on something at home while we were all bored sitting at home and paint something. Do you think you'll go online in the coming days? And maybe that means we have to go get our own,
supplies.
I'm losing the word, but you know what I'm...
Yeah, so what I'm actually doing is, since I have a lot of time on my hands, I'm selling supply kits. So if you want everything that you're going to need for that class.
Oh, that's cool.
Includes the canvas with everything sketched
out.
Canvas.
That was the word, JJ, is canvas. I don't know why it's so hard. Yes.
It's a fancy artwork. Don't worry. So I'm, I'm doing pickups where people can just come pick it up, or I can drop it off at people's houses. So I'm just trying to be as flexible as possible. And, the first few live classes I'm actually going to do for free, just because I know people are bored out of their minds. They have kids that are, in need of activities. So right. I'm using paint, but the first few lessons I'm wanting for people to be able to do with crayons or colored pencils or markers so that they could, maybe do it for free and have their kids do just this fun, activity. And then once I see how those first few live classes go, then I'll consider, possibly charging for a Zoom link or something like that.
Very cool. Well, I'll just say to Tucson right now, when JJ starts charging, pay JJ, please.
Yeah.
you're very kind to offer this for free, but that's not the point, JJ. The point is to put money in your pocket.
I'm not the best business person.
No. Okay. And this is not business consulting. I just deeply want Tucson to, because I run different things as well. And you want to be sensitive to what other people don't have resource wise too. Like there's that tension of, everyone's trying to hunker down.
Yeah, exactly.
And so maybe you and I can just put a message out there of if you're a business, be sensitive to that. But more importantly, if you're a consumer, be sensitive to the fact that we need our own dollars to go into the market to make sure that we all thrive in the long run. It's a tough balance, JJ. And I just admire you and everybody that's trying to get through it.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, well, we're in it together, and, I have high hopes for Tucson. We're going to come out of it pretty strong. Right now, of course, people should not be buying from Starbucks or anything like that. Support local. If you're going to venture out, you're going to be getting takeout, a lot of people are struggling right now, so definitely, go to Fuku Sushi or go to Safe Kitchen or go to, one of these amazing local restaurants that we have.
I love it. We're under a minute, so let's leave on this, JJ. Where can people find you again, buy your supply kits, and start giving you money?
Yeah. So definitely check me out on Facebook. Just search Tipsy Picassos, and I should be the first one to pop up. And I'm also on Instagram.
Wonderful. JJ, again, thank you. We got your back. We'll get through this together, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good
day. Appreciate it.
Yes. And that was our small business spotlight today. Something we try to do every day as much as we can here on the show, just to highlight the men and women doing great things in Tucson that we can support and get them through this. And by the way, when we support our local business, they support us. That's how it works. And that's what we're going to talk about in segment 3 after bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages. So don't go away here on 1030 The Voice. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Me, we'll return in a minute. Tucson Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's 20 new startups at the U of A Center for Innovation, the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, or the Forge at Roy Place, we're looking forward on Tipping Point to celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories of the people and ideas to the University of Arizona driving innovation in our region, moving at the speed of business. Tucson, welcome on back in. Thanks for hanging with us today. This is Tipping Point here on 1030 The Voice, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. It's just you and I the rest of the way. We just said goodbye to our small business spotlight here at the bottom of the hour. JJ, Jennifer Johnson, she's the owner and founder of Tipsy Picasso's, a pop-up sip and paint business, you know, where you can go and you can learn how to paint and you can have a good drink doing it. Not only does that require butts in the seats, but it requires places where seats can be to have butts in them. And so JJ has a kind of a double whammy situation going on where she depends on the restaurants and bars to be open to even have her business happening. So it was exciting to hear how she's going to pivot, but we wanted to talk about small businesses every day here on the show that we can support and come together around to make sure that we get through this together. And I've been doing a lot of, you know, bar and restaurant because those are kind of some of the ones everybody thinks about. But there's a lot of other businesses that are either supported by them or that support those bars and restaurants that we don't often get to hear from. In segment four, in our last part of the hour, we're going to talk about where is Joe Biden and why I think Trump gets four more years. But here, right at the bottom of the hour, I want to talk about the state of local business support in Tucson and why I don't think it's enough and what I think we need to be doing about it. And I think what got me starting to think about this is I follow the city of Stockton pretty closely, which I know is a weird city to follow, they have, at least when he came into office, the youngest mayor in the country. Michael Tubbs was 26, youngest mayor of a city over 100,000 people. I think he's in his second term now, a real young guy. And Stockton was bankrupt in 2014. It was one city that went bankrupt. So we're not talking about a city that is, you know, has been booming for decades. They're now ranked one of the most fiscally solvent cities in the U.S., which is an incredible, what would that be, 6-7 year turnaround. But last night, their city council just approved a $1.2 million coronavirus relief fund to go to food banks, to go to shelters, and to go to small business. And it got me thinking, you know, we have all of these federal resources starting to come together and state resources coming together. But now cities are saying, how do we step up? How do we support our local businesses through through COVID-19? Because what is going to turn the spigot back on, right? I'm a little hesitant to fully buy into the idea that as soon as we say go and open up the economy, it's going to be flooded again. I think there will be demand. I think people are going to want to go to that restaurant they haven't been to in 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks, that people are going to want to go out and have those experiences again. But people aren't going to just go to bed one night and then get up the morning and go spend $1,000 somewhere. That's not how it works. And I mean, that's the optimism coming out of the White House, and I'm not criticizing it, but I don't think that's how it works. You can't just turn it on, turn it off. In the meantime, you have to be supporting those local businesses. You have to be making sure that there's still commerce coming through them as much as possible. You have to be bolstering those businesses. So when we turn back the spigot on, they're not having to only think about how do we deliver our goods and services, but they're going to have to think about rehiring. They're going to have to think about, you know, tightening the belt more. It's just not spigot on, spigot off. So I was looking at Stockton yesterday, of course, their decision, a $1.2 million of their surplus funding that they said, look, we're going to support our local institutions, not the state government, not the SBA, not the federal government, not the Small Business Association or administration. We're going to do it ourselves. And it got me thinking, would Tucson be in the position to do that? And I think the answer is no. I don't think we're going to see a local city of Tucson government stimulus a budget coming out. When I talk to people who are smarter than me on this, they say, look, you know, when the spigot of the economy turns back on in Tucson, we will have taken a sales tax revenue hit. Right. So the city doesn't really know what its revenues are going to be, which I think is a good point. And it would be the same, I would say, for the state government as well. Revenues are going to be really wonky for probably the next year coming out of this. But here is one of the things that has made Stockton as a city able to have that kind of surplus that they feel comfortable investing back in. Sales tax. Good old sales tax makes up the largest portion of incoming revenue for Stockton. The same is true for Tucson, and is estimated to be an increase of $1.5 million from the current fiscal year. Right, Stockton went from being an insolvent, bankrupt city to being one of the most solvent and fiscally responsible cities in a matter of 6 or 7 years. And I have two things coming out of this that I'm thinking about. One is that I think crises like this show how important it is for Tucson to have an economy that works. And again, I had a show on this. It doesn't come from a place of criticism. I talked about the 1 million trees coordinator that seems so far away ago that the city wanted to bring on. I doubt our focus is going to be trees after this. And it's an okay focus, but when it comes down to brass tacks, when the economy is falling apart, those things kind of take a little bit of a back seat. I think our approach in Tucson has always been business. Guess we got to have it. You know what I'm saying? Give me a call if you agree or disagree. And I'm not trying to wake up on the wrong side of the bed today. That's my gut feeling. 790-2040 is for decades in Tucson. We've said business. Guess we got to have it. Guess we'll support it. And we talk a lot about this. You know, one of my fellow hosts on this station, Christy Simone, I always give him credit because he said it. I didn't say it first, but I like it. I use it on this show. You can have the sprinkles on the ice cream when you've got the ice cream in the cone. And I think for a long time in Tucson, it was why we got so hit in the Great Recession, because we were so single industry driven when the housing market crashed. We didn't have anything else. We've never focused, at least in a visible way in Tucson, on girding ourselves. So at times like this, we don't say we don't have any money. We can't support you. Like we can't visibly get out there and support you. And I feel like that culture exists in Tucson right now, which is why I'm so concerned coming out of this, is that if the business of business, right? And by the way, when we talk about sales tax being the revenue generator in the city, that means more goods and services for people to buy and more people buying those goods and services. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but it also isn't that complicated.
Yeah, simply the sales tax money is coming from business entrepreneurs,
correct,
who are collecting it for,
correct,
the civic government, state government, whatever, and turning it over to them. If nothing else, one of the things that we're experiencing, learning, is how important it is to any city or entity, community, to have jobs for people, for crying out loud.
Right.
Entrepreneurship, businesses.
Right.
And of course we need to support them.
Right. Right. And this is what was going through my head, Tom, is what I'm hearing from small and local businesses today. Some of our local businesses are not small. I try to not just say small business because that's not always true. Our small and local businesses today do not feel supported in this moment, do not feel supported. And there are other cities that have made decisions in the past that allow them to be supportive at a local level in ways that Tucson is not able to. When I talk to businesses today, and I talk to them all day, not as much as the Chamber, not as much as SALC, but I talk to businesses every day. And we can talk about all this SBA stuff. We can talk about, Small Business Administration loans and this and that. I got to tell you, Tom, the stuff that is being pumped out right now isn't getting to the people who need it. And I don't necessarily have all the answers, but things like what Stockton did would help a lot. A $1.2 million surplus emergency fund to support our local businesses who don't qualify for SBA, who aren't big enough, who haven't been around long enough.
Is the Stockton model, the way they turn things around, is that something that any city could follow?
It's a great question. I haven't looked too deeply into what
I would be interested
turnaround.
In yeah. That 7 6 7
know,
year period, what they did to help the economy.
Me too.
How they supported or didn't support small business, etc.
Me too. That might be a show for another day. I had the same question, Tom. Didn't have enough time to get into it, but I went, wait a second, they were bankrupt in 2014. Now one of the most fiscally solvent. What happened there? But I doubt
they did it totally on taxation.
Probably not.
I mean, the city, of course, got their revenues from taxes,
mm-hmm.
but what did they do to get the amount of money available to them?
Correct. Yeah. No, it's that's the question. That's the question I have. And I think the concern that I'm hearing is, again, we don't feel supported, that there has been. So Tucson is good at this emotional support. I kind of hinted at it with JJ. We're good at the spiritual support, right? We got your back. We love you. You're going to be okay. But when it comes to the brass tacks of infusing actual support undergirding our local and small businesses, our local men and women running these things, I don't believe are feeling it. And I looked at, and by the way, I want to talk about something that I think is really supportive and has been really helpful. It's like the Metro Chamber put together this amazing list of business resources. There's nothing city involved in that. Like the city of Tucson as an entity is not involved in any of those resources. They've been a part of pulling it together, but I'm saying in terms of a fund or support or an initiative, there's nothing involved from the city of Tucson. But in terms of the Metro Chamber, all last week probably put 18-hour days in to get that list together and to collate all the support that businesses can have. Here's my other thought, and I want to frame this because, and this is going to make me a little unpopular, and that's okay, Tom, I have an idea for the mayor, if I may be so bold. And I want to start by saying this. I actually want to applaud her foresight on this issue multiple times in the last week. This is the part that's going to make me unpopular before I get to my unsolicited advice, Tom. And that is, before the CDC said you got to go to 50 people, she was ahead of the game by 48 hours. Before the national and state governments decided to do a close down of restaurants and bars, she was on it. It's painful. It hurts, but I think she showed firm leadership to make it happen. And the thing that stinks about COVID-19 is you can't address it incrementally. You can't say, this is my opinion, you can't say, well, we'll wait until we have 5 deaths. That's not how it works. You make decisions ahead of time so you don't get there because the incubation period is so long. So you have to act proactively and hope you made the right decision. She was firm and first. Often in the state, and I think she deserves credit. Here's my unsolicited advice. What would it look like for every day for the mayor to go to a small business, to go to a restaurant, to go on site, if she doesn't want to have them come in, a coffee place, a food place, Tipsy Picasso's, so on and so forth. And you sit down, you do a video, and you go, thank you. I'm so glad you're in Tucson. Thank you for sticking it out. I want you here when this is all said and done. We got your back. How can we help you? Now, one, that shows support. Number two, it's great promo, right? Because it's the mayor and you get a lot of eyeballs on the mayor and you get a lot of people finding out about these local businesses. I, again, I applaud the firm leadership action. And I know the mayor is probably stuck in her office more than she would like to right now. But we got to see from our city officials symbolic support that we don't have the attitude, business, it's here. Guess we got to deal with it. That's what I feel in Tucson is, well, guess we got to have it, right? Got to have that sales tax. Guess we got to have businesses. But secretly, like gut feeling, I feel like that for a lot of people, if we didn't have to have a supportive business economy and ecosystem, we wouldn't. It's something in Tucson that we just don't care about. And it's a reality of life. We got to suck it up and make it happen. But oh, well, that's what I feel. And I think to see our city leadership out in the community spotlighting businesses saying, I'm so thankful you're here. I want to help. We're going to get you through this. And then not just words, but action. We haven't gotten
but
to
without
that
businesses
in
an entrepreneurship based economy.
That's right.
There would be no city administration.
And that's the
they wouldn't be able to exist.
And that's the catch 22, right? Is we talk about how do we support renters? We talk about how do we support working families? We talk about how do we have a safety net for all this? Where does that money come from? Right, at the national level, who prints it and who makes the dollar and who prints off the green? At the local level, you know who makes it? Businesses. Yeah. Offering goods and services that other people buy.
But
look
you
at
mentioned
the
national level. You know where the Fed's getting all that money, don't you? From you and me and everybody else
like us. On the spending side. On the spending side, right.
They're getting it from somebody. And I have been noticing every year about this time. Some of it's been coming from me.
Right. For the next crisis, though, Tucson, you know a better place we'd be in as a city if we had a thriving surplus, we had money coming in the bank, how quickly and responsively we could have supported our food banks, our shelters, our men and women on the streets, our renters, our businesses. We could have supported at a greater level if we had the resources in the bank. We don't have the resources in the bank because as a community, we want the sprinkles without the ice cream. And this is the side of the bed that I got up on. All right, we're going to go to our final break. When we come back, where is Joe Biden? Why does Trump get 4 more years? My opinion on that. And that's how we're going to close the show. Don't go anywhere. 790-2040. Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's 20 new startups at the U of A Center for Innovation, the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, or the Forge at Roy Place, we're looking forward on Tipping Point to celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories of the people and ideas to the University of Arizona driving innovation in our region, moving at the speed of business. Tucson, welcome back. This is Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. I want to fit this in before we leave, but where is Joe Biden through all this? And why I think this week that President Trump gets 4 more years. I want to play this clip in a second. This is Joe Biden reemerging. We'll talk about some of his challenges campaigning right now. Weird time for everybody. But this is Joe Biden doing a virtual press conference from his remade office to the nation on Monday in response to coronavirus. Let's play the clip.
I've laid out a very detailed, in-depth plan for what I think we should be doing. You can read it on joebiden.com. We need immediate action on testing, on research for treatments and vaccines, on leading a global response to beat the virus everywhere. But today, I want to focus on just four key points of action. First, the president must take immediate steps to increase our capacity, the capacity of our healthcare system, to treat the sickest coronavirus patients safely. I'm glad the president has finally activated the National Guard. Now we need the armed forces and the National Guard to help with hospital capacity, supplies, and logistics. We need to activate the Reserve Corps of doctors and nurses and beef up the number of responders dealing with these crush of cases. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough on that. The president must use the Defense Production Act to radically increase the supply of critical goods needed to treat patients and protect our healthcare workers and first responders, including the protective gear like face masks and critical equipment like ventilators so desperately needed in our hospitals. It means working with all our allies and partners to get supplies from overseas when available.
There we go. Yeah, that was an interesting part of the clip. And what you can't see here is how tired Joe looks. What happened is he said, "We've got this 4-point plan." He got into it, and the teleprompter went off, and so him stuttering there was him trying to get someone to give him his notes. But he redid this office. He put a podium in there, and I listened to this, and I'm not looking to criticize at all. Like, I'm not looking for things to poke at, but I saw this on Monday, and I looked at it, and he looks tired. The words aren't coming. I haven't heard a lisp before. I started hearing a lisp. The words just aren't enunciated. The ideas aren't flowing. The thing with the former vice president is he has, as a magazine called it this week, he has no bully pulpit right now. He's not in office, so he can't use that as a platform. He doesn't have any kind of position. He's a former vice president. He can't go out campaigning. He can't go out to rallies. It took him 7 to 10 days to come up with anything in response. President Trump gets all the prime time, right? No one's showing Joe Biden in his darkly lit office behind a podium slurring his way through a coronavirus press conference. And I know that sounds cheeky, but that's what it is. Again, I'm looking at this from a journalist standpoint. There's no bully platform. Again, as a magazine this week called it, there's no platform which Joe Biden can stand on. And when he can get back out in the field, the amount of money that the RNC and the president have raised together is enormous. It's one of the most formidable political machinery that we've seen in a really long time. I just think Joe Biden is outgunned, and everyone thinks, you know, you've got President Trump every day talking that would be a detriment. If you're Joe Biden, you'd love to be out in the public eye every single day. Here's the other thing too, Tom, is that the president, according to the Gallup poll, his approval rating is higher than it's ever been. And according to an ABC poll, the majority of Americans think he's doing a good job. I just don't see.
And he's in front of the American public every day.
That's what I'm saying.
When do the Democrats have their convention? Is it in this
it's
summer?
July or August.
Now, will Joe Biden be by? Will they just by acclamation nominate him as their candidate, or could there be some real poof or something going on in the background that we don't know about yet?
I laugh, Tom, because I think it'll be only Joe Biden by then. But I'm laughing because I don't know why Bernie Sanders hasn't dropped out. I mean, Joe Biden is 300 delegates ahead. I mean, the race is over. But who cares about election 2020 right now, Tom? No one's talking about it, which is my point, is where is Joe Biden? No one's paying attention. Trump's approval ratings are soaring. No matter what the media is saying, no matter what Twitter is saying, the reality on the ground is different. And I'm looking at these numbers and I'm thinking, as weird as it sounds, and it sounds weird, in light of everything going on, I think President Trump gets four more years. And oddly enough, I think this week solidified. At least that's where my head's at right now. That's it for us. Our seconds are counting down. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Thursday at 9 o'clock as always. And we'll talk about startups in Tucson in light of all this. 1030 The Voice. This has been Tipping Point with Zach Yenser signing off.